Welcome to Through the Word. Here you are on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Nickham and Jonathan Ferguson guide us through the Gospel of Matthew. Now to Pastor Chris.
Matthew 27, the darkest day in human history. We've come a long way and followed Jesus on quite a journey. For the disciples, this journey has been 3 years, following closely in Jesus' footsteps. But on this morning, where he is going, they cannot follow. When we left off, Jesus was on trial before the high priest. But as dawn breaks, it's time to move.
Verse 1. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people made their plans how to have Jesus executed. So they bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. The Jews at this time did not have the legal right to execute anyone. Being under the jurisdiction of Rome, they were required to bring all capital cases to the proper authorities. They didn't always do this, as in the case of Stephen in the book of Acts, but the scriptures had already prophesied what kind of death Jesus was to suffer. Jesus himself had even said he was going to be crucified. And so the Jewish elders and priests brought him to Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea.
And here Matthew takes us back to the story of Jesus' betrayer. When Judas sees that Jesus is to be executed, remorse overcomes him, and he tries to undo what he has started. He goes to the priests to give back the 30 pieces of silver, but the priests won't take it. They call it blood money. Somehow, in their twisted minds, they justified paying blood money, but not taking it back. Their jealousy blinded them to their own hypocrisy. Judas throws the money at them and leaves to hang himself. I wonder what would have happened if, in his remorse, Judas had gone to Jesus rather than the priests.
So Jesus was brought before the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. Now I've been to Pilate's birthplace in Spain, walked the streets he would have played on as a kid. In that town, Pilate is regarded as almost a misunderstood, tragic hero. He had no choice but to crucify Jesus, they say. But this is simply not the case. Pilate was a ruthless man, known for political intrigue and corruption. Read the text. Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent, and his wife had even been sent a dream warning her that Jesus was innocent. Pilate also knew that the priests had only brought Jesus to be killed because they were jealous of him. Yet he still allowed and even ordered that Jesus be beaten and crucified. No amount of hand-washing would ever remove the guilt from Pilate's hands.
And so Pilate handed Jesus over to his soldiers. Now as you read through the story, pay close attention to when Jesus speaks and when he won't. Both Caiaphas and Pilate are amazed that Jesus will not defend himself against accusations. But he does answer when he's asked about who he is. That is the only matter of consequence. Are you the Christ, the Son of God? Yes. Are you the King of the Jews? Yes. And for this only is Jesus sentenced. No other accusation sticks. And when Pilate hands Jesus over to the guard, it is for this very reason, because he is the King, that they mock him. Verse 28. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. So the soldiers literally added insult to injury, humiliation. After they flogged Jesus severely, they mocked the king. As I read this today, the words weighed heavily on me. King of the Jews, this is my king. And they mocked him and beat him, precisely because he is the king. Yet by their own words, they will be condemned.
Now Jesus was so weakened by his beating that he was unable to carry his own cross, and the Roman soldiers would never have carried it. So they pressed into service a man from the crowd. Verse 32. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. Simon was from modern-day Libya and was probably in Jerusalem for the Passover celebration. Now, Simon is a hero to many here in Africa. After all, it was an African who helped Jesus when he needed it the most.
So Simon helps carry Jesus' cross, and the guards lead them to a place called Golgotha. Verse 34. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. The wine with gall would have a numbing effect on the body. offering it to the condemned was seen as a small mercy, considering how much pain crucifixion caused. But Jesus refused. He would experience the pain of the cross, the price of our sin, in all its fullness. And so they nailed him, hands and feet, to the cruelty of a Roman cross.
The Romans would crucify people along the main roads leading into town. They wanted everyone to see what would happen to someone who dared to resist the might of Rome. Great crowds of people would be swarming into Jerusalem on this day, for they were bringing their Passover lambs to the temple to be slaughtered. And as they passed Jesus, they mocked him, spit on him, and insulted him. Little did they know that they were mocking the true Passover lamb that would take away the sins of the world.
The Romans placed a sign above each criminal with the charge brought against them. On this cross, the sign declared, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Verse 45. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The crowds around Jesus thought that he was calling for Elijah to come and save him, but Jesus was actually quoting the 22nd Psalm. Or perhaps David was quoting Jesus when he wrote it, only in advance. The Psalm is a prophecy written by David, describing with incredible accuracy the pain of the cross. If you want to read the cross story from Jesus' perspective, what he went through for you and I, go and read Psalm 22.
Several hours have passed now, and Jesus' strength is nearly gone. And as he breathes his last, an amazing series of events takes place. Verse 51. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Imagine it. When Jesus died, many holy people who had died were raised to life. Jesus' death brings life immediately. And after Jesus' resurrection, they walk out of their tombs, walk into the city of Jerusalem, and appear to many. Amazing.
The earthquake has settled. Light has come back to the land, and the body of Jesus, the King of the Jews, now hangs lifeless. And in verse 54, a group of centurions who started their day with an assignment to guard a prisoner sentenced to crucifixion, a prisoner convicted only of being a king. Now, after all they've seen, the centurions come back to the one question that matters. Who was this man? And those centurions exclaim, "Surely he was the Son of God." Then in verse 57, as evening approached, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. The story of Joseph of Arimathea has always been a hopeful one for me. He was rich, which Jesus told us makes him hard to save. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders who came against Jesus so often. Yet Joseph believed. Against the tide of hypocrisy, greed, and doubt, he believed.
Verse 59. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Now this was unusual. Crucified men were typically thrown into a common mass grave. But Pilate allowed Joseph to take possession of the body, and he buries Jesus in Joseph's own tomb.
But Jesus only borrowed that tomb. Read Matthew 27 today. But please come back for the conclusion of Matthew's gospel. This story isn't over yet.
Matthew 27, the death of the king, on Through the Word.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. Or listen or support it. So thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder from Through the Word. Jonathan Ferguson is the church planter, and I will be Kenya. And he's my dad. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.